Thanks for downloading this show from PC One. Before we get rolling, here's a word from one of the folks who helped bring you this podcast. He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on podcast1.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Thursday. We meet again. I'm sitting down here in the studio. Got a whole bunch of stuff to go over with you guys, but I'm on some TV show called Undisputed, which I rather enjoy. Gentleman that used to be at ESPN. Joel, help me out with his name.
Skip Bayless.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Skip Bayless. All right. And who's his partner here?
Shannon Sharp.
Both very good. They're a bit of a Siskel and Ebert. I like how they go at topics, but they've been doing this for, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes. They got an interstitial, which just means like a spot on the screen, a picture of Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. Says mind games. The whole thing is based around a statement that Chris Weidman, who's fighting this weekend, made. Chris Weidman conceded that Floyd will kill Conor, but that it will be an incredible event. Those were Chris's words, an incredible event. And I like that. I like that he said that because, one, it's accurate, and two, yeah, man, we don't have to act like it's something it's not. This is an incredible event. But we're watching Skip. Tell me his partner's name, Skip and?
Shannon Sharp.
Skip and Shannon have been going back and forth for a meaningful period of time about a fight that is not signed. I mean, I've never heard a fight talked about.
Thank you.
More. Do you remember when CM Punk signed with the UFC? And for a while there, I didn't know if Punk was going to fight. I personally kind of thought he wasn't. But I remember he got a media tour like nobody else. I mean, he was on Rome. He did what they call the car wash at SportsCenter. It's so hard to get on SportsCenter. He was over at FS1. He was doing the UFC Tonight. He was everywhere. There was no piece of media that MMA has ever had that CM Punk couldn't touch. It was such a big deal that he was coming over. But it was the first fight in my lifetime, the first time that a fighter had ever made it to that level of media with absolutely nothing to promote. He had no opponent, no date, no venue, and no weight class. And I just never said, so I'm watching all these interviews, and it was like interviews about nothing. You're talking about talking because there wasn't a fight. There wasn't tickets for sale. There was no attraction to look forward to. And I remember thinking, wow, this is a lot of media opportunities that guys with title fights and main events and, hey, I'm up this Saturday, that they can't get. Conor and Floyd is reminding me of that. We've got this fight that you and I have announced. This is the only show that stuck their credibility and actually announced this fight. This fight is happening. We have announced it on here, and we've staked our credibilities on it from the source with the ticketing company. But it officially is not. So they don't have a date yet. They don't have a venue. They don't have a weight class. They don't have all these things that you would need. I've never seen a fight talked about. CM Punk was the one fighter that could get opportunity, but I'm watching this, and to watch two guys that don't know anything about fighting talk about fighting and then argue, you know, defiantly with one another is fascinating to me as much as it is irritating. And Skip Bayless was just breaking this down for Shannon and said, no, this is going to be a fight, and all that movement and footwork and showsmanship that Floyd Mayweather does, that's out the window. Because he's going to be in a fight. He's going to be put in a corner and forced to fight. And I'm listening to him, and I'm going, man, you're saying that really eloquently. You look good on TV doing it. He's a nice guy. Met Skip plenty of times. Nice guy. But I'm going, based on what? If you're going to make a crazy claim like this on television as a sports broadcaster in the fight game, and you've never done it in any fashion whatsoever, you at least have to turn to history. I talk about baseball all the time, football, basketball, these things I've never done. But then I'll give you a time and a game and a scenario where, and then insert my belief, happened. What time in fighting history, because his entire premise is that Conor will be such the bigger man. It's like, Skip, let's give him 20 pounds. Let's give him 50 pounds. I mean, I don't have to look back any further than Saturday when Rampage had 41 pounds on his opponent, and his opponent had him pinned up and cornered the entire time. So what piece of history is it that you're referring to when you're telling us the bigger man inside of a cage or a squared circle in this case has ever bullied and pushed his way? Because I can tell you plenty of times where the bigger man is slower, more methodical, tired, and is the one standing there as the target. So with what piece of historical reference is he pointing at to say that somebody can pin Floyd Mayweather into a corner and then keep him there as he tees off? It's like, in your mind, in your mind, does that even work? For me, I know how insane that is because I know it really. I'm in practice every day. I've been in the ring 49 times. I know how crazy it is, but I'm just wondering, the layman, does the layman even believe that's true? That a bigger guy just pushes a guy into a corner, keeps him there, and starts teeing off? Are you kidding me? Is that how much people disrespect the art of boxing?
Yes. Here's a bigger point.
It is yes? The answer is yes?
Hold on. Yes, they do disrespect it. Here's a bigger point. These guys are talking about this Undisputed show. Is a big show. It's a big show for Fox. It's one of their...
Yeah, it's a good show. We're watching it.
Well, they're talking about a fight that hasn't been made yet. There's no date. Instead of talking about the baseball started this weekend, yesterday was opening day. The national championship game was two nights ago. They're not talking about that, the NCAA national championship game. They're talking about a fight that hasn't been made yet. Now, one of the things that Bayless says, and he sticks to it, now I watch a ton of this, and I listen to a ton of sports radio, and I am gullible. You can tell me something. You can change my mind.
I'm that same way. I will get influenced by a guy on TV. So honor amongst thieves here.
Here's what you're not going to change my mind on. Is that the reason... Here's what Skip's saying. Skip's saying the reason Floyd is going to possibly lose the fight and get beat up is Conor's bigger and he's older. So Floyd Mayweather, who is the... top one or two or three best defensive fighters of all time. Defense doesn't go away. The reason Bernard Hopkins was so successful for so many years is his defense. He's going to be able to somehow penetrate that defense because the calendar says that Mayweather's 40 years old. I, at some time, during whenever they announce this fight, on this show, right here, I'm going to tell you, I think...
What?
I'm going to tell you, I think Conor... I'm fast-forwarding the tape of stupidity. I'm going to tell you... Conor's got a shot.
Yeah.
Conor might win this fight. I'm going to tell you that.
I will not tell you that, but I will admit right now that, yes, I will think that as well as he walks to the ring. Hey, he could win this fight. Well, you know, if he lands that one punch... As insane as that is, and you're sitting here, and these guys want to talk about Floyd's older, and it's like, man, I don't know where this tipping point came from. When I was a senior in high school, there wasn't a first grader in all of the lands I was worried about. There wasn't a freshman in all of the lands I was worried about. Somewhere age became a disadvantage, though growing up, all of our listeners can relate. Yeah, man, I didn't have to worry about an underclassman. Age has always been a good thing until it wasn't. And then somewhere with the commentator, I mean, they can be close too. It could be 28 versus 22. They're going to give the advantage to the 22-year-old. It's like, well, no, you're probably the thick of your prime around 28 years old. It's insane, but it will always go to the younger guy, according to these commentators. And then they do that with size too. Size has always been a disadvantage. I mean, we talk about Muhammad Ali, heavyweight champion of the world, 198 pounds. Mike Tyson, most dominant boxer the sport's ever seen, 220 pounds. Size is such an incredible disadvantage, but they'll always talk about it like it's an advantage.
Well, here's what they're...
But they can't point to history. I just pointed to the two greatest boxing heavyweight divisions ever seen in Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson. I just pointed that. Who are you bringing forward, you know, Skip and Shannon? Who are you guys bringing forward as your examples that size helps?
Now, if anything about this fight that hadn't been signed yet and doesn't have a date, doesn't have a venue, I do believe they will contest it at 147 pounds. Well, that means Conor has to suck to 147. That's a big cut. Just because he's going to be 165, 170 the next night doesn't mean he doesn't have to cut that weight.
Isn't that annoying? When your guy wins, it's always, well, you know, he was so much bigger. And when your guy loses, it's, well, he had to suck all that weight. He was exhausted. You know, he pulled all the way down to 147. And there's always a built-in excuse. It's like, guys, shut up. Just shut up and go box. And the sport of boxing, I mean, I think that boxing reigns supreme here and the whole world gets its eyes open. There's actual sport going on. There's not just two knuckleheads out there punching one another till one of them gets tired and stops. There's a sport and an art form, and that's what Floyd brings to the table. I truly believe that. If I'm wrong, I mean, it's going to be like finding out there's no Santa Claus. But, Joel, I'm looking at this thing and going, okay, I've done, you know, wrestling since I was 9 and MMA since I was 19. If I stop right now and you announce that I have a contest in either one of those forms, okay, I'm the same age as Floyd. I have a contest in either one of those forms in September of this year. I use that because that's the rumor date that these guys are going to box. You could call it December 29th, the last day of this year, December 30th, last day of this year. I never get a break of sweat again. This is the criteria. I don't get to prepare at all. I don't get to do nothing. But I got to take on a guy who's got some size on me. He's 10 years younger than me, but he's never done either one of those sports ever. Now, he gets to train nonstop, but he's never done it before, ever. Joel, it's going to be a walk in the park for me. I'm going to throw my mouthpiece in. I'm going to walk. I'm going to pull up my singlet straps, whatever for. It's going to be a walk in the park. I've done it my entire life. I don't understand where. So they're talking about his age. Well, what does age mean? That he's slowed down and he's not training. So that's the only thing age means. Hey, I don't want to do it as much. Maybe my body can't. Maybe mentally I just don't want to, so I'm just not quite preparing as hard. Floyd's still going to prepare. Now, I argue that Floyd is still absolutely in his prime because I talk to guys at the gym that say he is nuts when it comes to training. I've heard some of the training days that he goes through, and I'm like, what?
We've watched it on HBO and then Showtime.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm told he hasn't slowed down one single bit. But if the argument is that Connor's younger, then what is it that you're arguing? That he's hungrier, that he wants it more, that he's running 8 miles while Floyd's running 7. What is it that you're arguing is the benefit to that? So let's just go totally the other way. Connor trains harder than he's ever trained before, but he has to go into a sport that he's never done before. Floyd doesn't get a train at all, but he goes into a sport that he's never lost at professionally. Is there any gap of time within the calendar year of 2017 that Floyd doesn't get him out of there in the first round if boxing's a real sport? And I personally think it is, but that's what we're being told here by Skip and Shannon and everybody else that's giving Connor any kind of a chance. And you and I are cheering for Connor because he represents MMA and we know him. We still can't give him any kind of a chance because it absolutely embarrasses. I mean, you're telling Oscar De La Hoya and Manny Pacquiao that their life's work didn't matter because they're not as good as the guy Connor's about to go against. And now you're saying that Connor, I mean, this is insane.
As good.
Or boxing's fake. It's here, one of the
here,
two.
Here, as good as a MMA wrestler that George St. Pierre is, and arguably the best MMA wrestler of all time, arguably.
Who would you argue against him? Is it arguable? It's just George, isn't it?
Randy's pretty good. You're pretty good. You know, I mean, I could throw some names in there. Daniel Cormier. I mean, it's arguable.
Right.
It doesn't matter. He's never going to score a point, unless Ben Askren lets him up.
Sure.
And it's a folk-style match. He's never, ever, 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 ever going to beat Ben Askren in a wrestling match, any style, Greco, freestyle, folk style, any style. It's not going to happen.
Ever.
Ever.
Schedule the match for 3 years from now. Ben doesn't get to break another sweat. George gets to train every day. He wouldn't get a point.
Ever.
Because it's a real sport.
And there will be a time. We should do an over-under when I come on air and say I think Floyd's going to win.
You mean Connor.
Yeah, that Connor's going to win. There should be a time. I wanted to mention about Mayweather and his training. He's got all sorts of money. He acts the fool. He's a million different things to hate, and that's why he's made so much money. He trains. He is going to train his ass off. He knows this is his 50th. This breaks Marciano's record. This is a big fight, let alone all the damn money they're going to make. He's going to be prepared. There's no way, no matter how, Connor may go down in the history of the greatest MMA fighter of all time. I'm not saying that he will, but he could. He's got two titles right now. Who knows what the guy's going to do? He's not going to win this fight. I don't think it's going to, I don't think it's going to go one round. I think Mayweather is going to take all the gas out of his tank and then pick him apart and show you that there is a difference between boxing and MMA boxing. I was talking to Ladd about boxing because Ladd doesn't know anything about boxing. And I started rattling off all of these great fights. I love boxing. I would rather watch a awesome boxing match than a good or awesome MMA match. There's just so few of them. They're not out there, and you don't know when you're going to win the lottery. You don't know when you're going to have a great fight. You know, a trilogy like Frazier, Ali, Evander Holyfield, Riddick Bowe. You don't know when they're going to happen, but yeah, the guy doesn't have a chance. But I will be in the next 6 months. I'll come on this show and say, you know what? I think he's going to win.
Sure. No, I understand. Yeah, and that's brainwashing. That's advertising. That's what it does. But when you've got these shows, and this Undisputed show is a big show, a lot of people watch it, they just got influenced right now by what Skip Bayless said. They just got influenced by, they're going, well, yeah, he is bigger. That's true, and he is going to go fight. And both of those things are true. Conor is going to go fight, and Conor is going to be bigger. The problem is he's doing an art he's never done against a guy who's never lost at it. It's either a real sport or it's not. There's actual foot. You always hear these announcers, they want to talk about footwork and hand speed and defensive skills. Those are either real things or they're not. Footwork is an actual thing or it's not.
And
hand speed matters or it doesn't. Defensive boxing matters. It's a real thing or it's not.
Who's he going to spar with? Who is Conor going to spar with that will make him believe that he can beat Floyd Mayweather? He's not going to spar with a top 10 boxer in the world because he can't beat a top 10 boxer in the world. He can't do it. It's not his sport. So who is going to make him believe that he can win this fight other than Skip Bayless?
Yeah, well, yeah, Conor may believe. I have no idea. But yes, if he's in there, you saw the training footage that was released of TJ Dillashaw. Incredible talent. TJ Dillashaw is such a special talent. Sparring with a former boxing champion. The guy, I can't remember how old, but, you know, a good boxer. I can't even produce the guy's name for it. Did you see that footage?
I did not.
Okay. It wasn't close, and TJ did an interview on it and said the same thing. He's like, oh, yeah, no, he picks me apart when we go out and box. But that's truthful. I mean, that's what it, this whole thing is silly. But to Chris Weidman's point, I like what he said. It's going to be an incredible event. WrestleMania wasn't competitive in any one of the matches, but, boy, was it an incredible event. And I think we can wrap our arms around that. I think it could be promoted as that. But these announcers that are coming on, Skip and Shannon, they're being serious. They're trying to give their fight breakdown. You know, Skip's talking about because he's bigger, he's going to pin Floyd Mayweather into a corner and beat him, on him. And it's like, based on what? I mean, I know that's not based on reality as a fighter, but there's not a lot of fighters out there. So, okay, I know that. But does the average – can you point to any piece of history where you took some great big guy, heavyweight division where there's all sorts of weight discrepancies, let alone this that's at an – they're going to weigh in at the exact same thing 24 hours before belt time. I don't give a damn how big you want to say Conor is. He's going to weigh the exact same thing as Floyd does 24 hours before the fight. You can only be so big. So now what are you talking about? 14 pounds? King Mo just gave up 41. Okay, so what are you talking about? He's all that big. Have all your talking points on you that you want, but offer me a piece of history where that ever happened. Where did a big guy ever? Tell me you saw it on the playground. Tell me you saw it in a bar and I'll accept it, but you didn't. The bigger guy is at a disadvantage. Some guy's kid got his ass kicked on the playground, and when he had to go tell his buddies at the job site the next day about it, he wanted to defend Junior, so he said, well, the kid was a lot bigger. That's where that came from. It did not come from a cage or a squared circle or any kind of competitive atmosphere whatsoever where a bigger guy actually had an advantage. And I know there's a tipping point, and a lot of times a guy will win a fight, and you'll go, well, you know, he was 5 or 6 pounds bigger. That is true. But not near as many times a guy went a fight and he was 5 or 6 pounds smaller. It always favors the smaller guy. Even in wrestling, the hardest guy to wrestle is the guy that is one weight class below you because he's a little bit quicker. The same thing goes in boxing. The same thing goes in MMA. That was the big lie told to the world when Conor McGregor moved up to 155, is that he wouldn't be big enough. It's like, no, you got the hardest guy to fight is the guy from one weight class below. You want Conor to have problems? Bring a guy up from 135 and have him fight. Conor will have that. That'll be harder for him than moving up in size. And historically, I'm right on. History supports me 100%. But you'll hear these announcers that say things. You and I were surprised that Undisputed, that Skip and Shannon went out and did 10 minutes on a Conor Floyd fight, and we were even annoyed by it because the fight isn't done. And you want to know who else did 10 minutes today on this fight that isn't even signed?
Joe Rogan.
You and I. So let's move on. But it is an easy talking point. It's fun to talk about. I love to talk about it. But even when I hear these announcers, it's like, guys, if you're going to bring up something in sport and something you know absolutely nothing about, you're going to get away with it because most of the public doesn't either. You go, you have all these talking heads on professional football, but the reality is less than 0.1% of the population has played it. So you can really fool a lot of people. However, you do have some level of obligation if you're on a show to then bring history into it. I could go on SportsCenter right now and talk about some sport that I don't know and I haven't played. But Joel, I would offer a reference in history. I would offer, you know, the 1988 NBA Finals as an example of why I think Gonzaga is going to beat Duke this weekend, because I would have some form of history to support it. Skip Bayless just went on and said, well, he's the bigger guy. That's going to make sense to a lot of people, but that should irritate more people that you go, okay, Skip, but just tell me one time where the bigger guy that was inexperienced and didn't know what he was doing, if you want to even throw that in, he doesn't even need to make that part of his vetting process. Just tell me a time that a bigger guy would ever cage the smaller, faster guy into a corner and started beating on him, as you just proposed is going to happen with the 0-0 Conor McGregor against the 49-0 Floyd Mayweather. Just tell me one time that's got your mind pointed in that direction. Don't tell me what you heard about from the job site. Don't tell me about when you were a kid, Skip, why you backed down from every confrontation you ever had because the guy was bigger than you. I want to hear a real-life example of two guys with some balls that actually stepped in there one time, and the bigger guy put him into a corner and teed off on him.
The bigger guy.
Wait, what do you mean the bigger guy?
There's nothing there. You're right. You're 100%. You're just saying the bigger guy, he's going to be bigger, and Connor's younger. Those two things in this particular event doesn't make any sense. But again, I will fall down. I will go down the rabbit hole at some point. They will show me some video, and I'll be like, oh, wow, he's really got a chance. And then when the fight's over, I'm going to feel really, really stupid.
But what other walk of life could you compare it to? Who's a real badass in football? There used to be a guy that played for the Packers. He had kind of long hair. Is he still playing? What's his name?
The Packer guy is
Matthews, rings a bell.
Yep, Clay Matthews.
Clay Matthews. Is he still out there?
Yeah, he's still playing.
Okay, so you take Clay Matthews, great athlete, great big son. I mean, if you're arguing size, okay, you got a big old ornery mean son of a bitch.
He fights Jake Smith.
Are you telling me that if this guy Matthews was to take on
Jake Smith,
Floyd Mayweather, that he would pin him into a corner and just start teeing off and he's going to make it a fight? Because you're arguing size. I mean, are you disrespecting Floyd's multiple world championships in the oldest sport on earth? Before they had bats and balls and courts and referees, are you arguing that just because of size alone, just because he's a mean, gritty guy, that it trumps everything that Floyd did? I mean, come on. Listen, the disrespect you're putting towards boxing. I'll use Dominic Cruz. I'll put Dominic Cruz as a doorman in any bar in the world and tell you they're not going to have problems there if the guy doesn't want to produce an of-age ID. The guy's not getting in the bar, and I don't give a goddamn how big he is. Okay, Dominic's going to show him the way to the exit because he has skills that I would never disrespect him. He's only got 2 world championships. How many does Floyd have? I mean, the disrespect being shown to boxing I can't dismiss it. It's unfathomable. Apparently, we as a society don't respect the sport.
Here's one thing, though, I have been thinking about in the last 15 minutes about this. I do think Conor does have a pretty good chance now. And do you know
why?
Why? He's bigger.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. Oh, he is big. Well, and you know what else? He's younger.
There you go.
Yeah. Floyd's just a decrepit old man that beat Manny Pacquiao 15 months ago. Manny Pacquiao, who nobody's dismissing of his age, just lost to the guy that apparently is too old to be in there. Guys, the first golf major of 2017 is set, and it all begins this Thursday in Augusta, Georgia. To celebrate, DraftKings.com is hosting a free fantasy golf contest, and they're putting up $100,000 in total prizes. Whether you live and breathe golf or you're just looking for a new fantasy sport, 1 week fantasy golf at DraftKings is for you. And fantasy golf on DraftKings is easy to play. Just pick six golfers before the tournament tees off. And it's teeing off this morning. So hurry over there. Then sit back and follow the action live. You can rack up points for streaks, per hole performance, tournament finishes, and more. Outscore the competition and win big. You can't get closer to the action than this. Millions of fantasy sports fans just like you have experienced the excitement at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. Remember, the tournament starts Thursday morning. Check your calendar to know when that is. So hurry to DraftKings.com right now. Get free entry in the $100,000 contest for golf's first major with the promo code CHAIL. That's promo code CHAIL, and you can play for free for your share of $100,000 in total prizes this Thursday. Only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See the site for details. Go to DraftKings.com.
Hey, everyone. This is Sean Wheelock inviting you to check out our new MMA podcast, Sean Funky and the Baddest Man, right here on Podcast One. Every week, I'll be with welterweight titleist Ben Funky Askren and the baddest man on the planet, Joe Warren, to take you inside the sport of MMA. So join us every Wednesday for all new episodes of Sean Funky and the Baddest Man. Download and listen at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and subscribe on iTunes.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Jail Sonnen.
I was thinking about golf.
What were you thinking about golf?
I can hit a golf ball pretty far, and Tiger Woods isn't doing too well. I'm a lot bigger than him. I think I can beat him. I think I can beat Tiger Woods.
Bush, put him into a corner.
Yeah. Push him into a corner. I'm older. He's older. No, I'm older. It's not much of a bit. Listen.
No, it's a great bit because it's all we're going to hear about. You've got a guy who's never done a sport versus a guy who's never lost at the sport. And the only thing you can hang your hat on besides people's ignorance is he's bigger, because it's the one factual thing you can say. I mean, you can get crazy as you want. Well, but he's got a beard. Do you remember when Roy Nelson had a beard? Roy Nelson had that great big beard.
Doesn't he still have
the... Yeah, but people... But do you remember the specific? Because they fought somewhere where the commission made him cut it. And I can't remember where it was. I want to say it was Canada. Roy Nelson had that great big beard. Now, Roy Nelson is tougher than old boot leather. And he was taking punches to the face that were almost unexplainable how a human could take them. And people argued he could take them because of the beard.
The beard.
That it offered like a layer of padding that this beard did. And people were going on television and commenting, and they were being serious. They were being serious that somehow that beard gave Roy padding, instead of just saying, Roy's a really tough guy with a good, strong chin.
If they're talking this much about a fight that hadn't been signed yet, imagine what they're going to do when it's been signed. It just goes to show you how much of the sporting content in all media is football. If there isn't football to talk about, there's not college football to talk about or pro football to talk about, man, they'll talk about anything. They're talking about a fight with a guy that's never done it before against the best ever before the fight's announced, and we're watching it and we're talking about it, and we don't even talk about football.
It's working. It's working. Imagine if you were a boxer, though. Imagine if you did that heavy lifting your whole... I mean, the life of a boxer is a tough life. You want to talk about commitment, hard work, trying to break into a business. You know how hard it is to break into MMA. Imagine boxing. MMA has multiple shows a week. Bellator, 23 shows this year. UFC going to have 53 shows this year. There's only 52 weeks in the year. What's that math on that? Almost 80 shows going on. I mean, look at the opportunity, and that's on the big scale. before you even get into the territories and the regional scene, boxing, a lot less opportunity. So the life of boxing, imagine how hard that is. And the only guy where you can ever cash in right now is Floyd. And you aren't even in the discussion. I mean, you don't even get to keep hope alive. Hope will get you a long way in life. It will get you up in
gotta
the morning.
You got to have hope.
You got to have some kind of a hope. You don't even have hope now. Floyd has said, I will come back, but it's for one guy, it's Conor. And the media's got on board with it. None of them's even dismissed it and said, well, shouldn't we give it to a guy? I mean, you and I were just doing a piece, and we were so impressed with Shane McMahon, that Shane McMahon would come back, that he would do one match a year at WrestleMania because the people want to see him. He's great for business. And he makes sure he goes under. He puts somebody else over. He puts the guy that does the heavy lifting, that's living out of a suitcase, on the road, putting in the miles, trying to get his comeuppance in that sport. He makes sure he puts them over. And we all know as fans that Shane's going to do it because it's the right thing to do, and he cares about the business and respects the industry. And we tune in anyway because we respect Shane's respect for the business. So now imagine all the media guys, everybody in that world, the promoters and the fans that claim they love boxing, and they are sliding it so bad. They're sliding a contender who's starving right now but had hope that someday he could end up in a marquee fight against Floyd Mayweather. They took it all from nobody's even commented on it. Nobody's even commented on it. The comment has been, he's bigger. The opponent's bigger. He's going to make him fight. Based on what? Based on what is it that he's going to go make him fight? Based on what piece of boxing evidence from Conor's history can you make that statement with a straight face? The truth is, Joel, we have no idea what Conor's going to do in the boxing ring. We've never seen it. We have seen some training footage. Some training footage has been released. At no point in that training footage did he put a smaller guy who he was sparring with into the corner and begin teeing off as Skip just went on television and told everybody he's going to do. There is not one piece of empirical evidence whatsoever based around the statement of what he just went on TV and influenced people to believe.
I went off the ride. This ride is taken far enough. I don't have anything to talk about, but I do know I went off this ride.
You got to go somewhere else, man. You can't turn on the product list. You got a topic to offer.
I do. Listen, one of the cool things about the show that nobody will ever see that in Kankakee.
May I interrupt you?
Yes.
I'm sorry to do this. Joel, I actually came in with something I want to talk to you about. I got distracted because the Undisputed.
I like where you're going.
Yeah, but I wanted to bring this up to you because one thing that did happen in that Kankakee, which I feel like I have the right to be mad at you about, but for some reason, it was really fun. I think largely it was because of Ladd's introduction. I wish people could see it. People won't even know. Ladd went on the stage. You know, before you start a show, you got to have something. If you're a concert, you have an opening act. But you have something before you go on stage. It doesn't matter if it's a presidential debate. Somebody comes out. They're called the moderator, but they introduce everybody. So Ladd was that person for us. But something really cool did happen. And you had a table there set up, and your coaches were at it. And I looked over, there's a group of older gentlemen, and you identify them as your coaches, but then you took a moment out of the talk, and you thanked them all. You just said, hey, by the way, you know, and then you actually gave stories. One coach, you told the story when he took you off the bus because you were being a misbehaved kid, and he told you, hey, we're going to go over this ravine supernon. One of us isn't coming back. But you told these stories and how they shaped you and influenced you. And I just thought it was a really great moment because I've never had that moment. I have so many coaches to thank, you know. About five really meaningful men in my life that as a kid I felt I was entitled to. In fact, I even thought sometimes it was me against them. Oh, they're the coach and I'm the athlete and they want me to work hard and I don't want to work hard. It's me against them. And I never thanked them. Then when I became old enough to thank them, it just, I don't know, it felt weird or I never had the opportunity. I don't know what the reason was. So instead of thanking them, I paid it forward. I went into coaching myself, but I did a lot of that selfishly as my way of dealing with some of the guilt that I had for the coaches that had helped me. And anyway, so I was a little bit jealous. You had that opportunity. I was impressed that you took it, but I was also grateful that you took it because I can tell you as a coach, for the couple of guys who have thanked me, and I don't expect to be thanked, and I know what it's like because as an athlete, I haven't done the thanking myself, and I think a lot of people listening to this can relate to that. But you were given an opportunity to do it, and you did it. So I was jealous that you did it because it was the right thing to do. I also saw their faces light up, particularly when you brought up specific stories that you took with you through this ride through life that helped to shape and influence you. That goes so far with a coach. Coaches don't get paychecks. That's what a coach gets, and you did it, and it was a cool move.
That's exactly what I was going to talk about, is when my dad was dying, they had taken out his voice box, so he had to write everything down. And one of the things that he wrote down is, it's a shame you can't live life backwards. And it was, there's more, when he wrote it, I was 20 years old. And I turned 30 and I learned some more life lessons and I reflect on that. And it still happens today. I remember coming up and it was so important for me to thank my coaches, was because I've been gone for 32 years. I noticed when I was back in October that some of the coaches had become friends with people my age. I never had that opportunity. I never had an opportunity to learn what my coach was about or anything. They were just my coach. And I remember as a kid, I was dirt poor. I took Lad around the places that I lived, and half of the houses that I lived in, they were so bad that they were demolished. They weren't even there. And one of the things that I thought about growing up when I was, competing from the time I was nine years old until 18 in high school, I didn't want anybody to know how poor I was. And each and every one of those coaches, they knew, of course they knew how poor I was. That's why they would pick me up. That's why they would take me somewhere. That's why they would feed me. And this is what coaches do. And you look at it like somehow you're doing something for them when you're a kid. And that is the only thing you can do is thank them. And it was really, really important that I had a chance to do that. One of my coaches that wasn't there actually passed away 2 days after the event. His name's Doug Barkley. He was a coach of mine. So we have a lot of fun here. We pick on each other. I get picked on a lot, this, that, and the other. Man, if you do one thing today, reach out. Today, go find them. Go find one of your coaches, because I've had 15 or 20 of them. Go find one of your coaches that you haven't talked to in forever. Find his email. Send him a note saying, hey, man, thank you, because that is all you can give a coach. And most of the coaches do it because they want to help the kid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And some of them probably could relate to some of the things that I said, in that they didn't think they had good coaches. They didn't thank them, and this is their way of giving back. Some of them could really relate to that, but it is a true thing. And as a kid, you just don't appreciate it. Man, I had two coaches that both ended up in the Hall of Fame. I didn't even know they were great. I had no idea they were great coaches. Dave Samba was just a guy coaching at the high school that I lived in the district of. That was it. He's in the Hall of Fame. I didn't even know he was a great coach. I knew he was a great. I appreciate him, was respect, but I had a Hall of Fame coach and didn't even know it. Roy Pittman's in the Hall of Fame. I didn't even know he was a great coach. He was just the guy coaching at the club that my dad pulled me up to. That's a big deal. You can't afford Hall of Fame coaches. You can't find Hall of Fame coaches. I had two. That's pretty lucky. I got pretty lucky.
Well, not only did you have Hall of Fame coaches, you had a Hall of Fame room. I'm a fan. And Legends of Legends came out of the back of a car dealership that I owned and supported. And it just so happened how many hammers came out of there. The same thing with your wrestling club. With your wrestling club, how many Olympians did you have in your room? I can think of five. I can think of five Olympians that you, coming up, when did you want to be an Olympian? When your dad told you you wanted to be an Olympian? Or did you?
Probably. Probably. I really can't recall, but it was a little bit different. Not being an Olympian and then leaving that sport and looking back, I hold it in such high regard, but I think a lot of that is because I didn't do it. I probably wouldn't hold it in as high regard if I did have the opportunity. But as big of a deal as I guess that is now at 40 years old, it wasn't as big of a deal when I was growing up, because we had an Olympian in the room. I was 9 years old, and there's Anthony Amato. He'd already been to the Olympics, got fourth. There's Travis West getting ready to try out for the team, did, and made it. And now I'm 14 years old. And we had Olympians standing right there. It just wasn't that big of a deal. That was one of the things John Smith told me. I told you about that dinner I had where I got to question him up one side and down the next for 3.5 hours. But But I asked him every question I ever wanted to ask him, and one of the things was about being an Olympic champion when he was a boy. He was in college and made the team, graduated college, and 6 weeks later was on the mat and won the gold medal. And he was a boy taking on men, and I just asked him about that. And his very first response to me was, well, Cale, he didn't know my name. Well, Cale, in 1988, I had decided I was going to be Olympic champion. That was the answer. I have no idea how that got him a goal that he had decided, but that was his answer from a guy that's now a two-time Olympic champion. But he did break it down a little bit further, which he said, you know, you come from Oregon, you know, what do you guys got? 2-3 Olympic champions? Now, the truth is, no, we have none, zero. Because what do you guys got? 2-3 Olympic champions? I come from Stillwater, Oklahoma. Everybody's an Olympic champion. But he was being sad. Now, I didn't interrupt one bit because I wanted to hear this guy's answer. I wanted to ask him this my whole life, and I'm asking him it. And he says, everybody's an Olympic champion. He said, I grew up, it was an expectation. You go to Oklahoma State, you represent the Cowboys, you win an NCAA title, you go home, win the World Olympic Championships. He said, we got a lot of them walking around campus. And not a big deal. I'm not a big deal to anybody there. I just blend in. But this is what was expected of me. And that was all he said, and I was left to then ponder what that meant. But it did leave me with tremendous insight that, you know, some people do have these expectations, and they don't have that allure and that shock when they get to the big event or when they're trying to get to the big event. They just expected it from day one, and it's a tremendous leg up. Whatever his dad did, whoever his coaches were, however they presented to him the Olympics as some small thing that he was just supposed to go do, and he went out and did it twice. Once as a boy, and by the next cycle, he was 27 by the next cycle, which makes him a very, very young man. I don't agree with the law that you're a man at 18. I think you're a man at 25. At a very young man, but he just expected it. And that was all the better answer he could give me, but what more can I want? I'm talking to the man himself, the greatest to have ever done it, and that's what he said. And that was it. It was that simple.
You know, wrestling, there's a huge portion of our fan base that doesn't care anything about wrestling. But stories are stories, and respect is respect. One thing about wrestling, and you'll agree with this 100%, is that when you were coming up, when you were competing, when you were still competing, the guys that were successful and were really good at it, you're always going to have a ton of respect for. I'll give you an example. Otto Oslin, Michigan wrestler, killer from Washington.
Wrestled him many times. I know Otto well.
He reached out to me on Facebook, and he's a fan of the show.
And Otto listens to the show?
Absolutely. Otto listens to
Why
the show.
Why did you not mention? You didn't know I've known Otto my whole life.
I'm mentioning it right now. We are literally talking about it right now.
But I want you to know I'm excited. I'm into the story.
So I was like, he had sent me a request, and I was like, there's one Otto Oslin in the world.
There's one Otto in the world.
Exactly. So I was pumped. I was pumped. And then he had sent me, you know, some messages, and he said, hey, I love your show. You remind me of my crazy old man. I can't count how many tournaments he got kicked out of. But my point was, I wasn't starstruck, but I was pumped. I was like, man, that's Otto Oslin.
Oh, you should be starstruck. Yeah. Otto Oslin reached out to you. That's pretty cool.
He was like, he's got 500 different things going on. He still coaches and does a million different things. And he was like, I lived through you guys. And I was like, dude, that's really cool. But my point is, you know, I had some of that when I went home because I was really, really good in that area, in that space. And all these years later, I get that same respect in the wrestling community. That's something that we always give, and I wanted to mention that because I was a fan.
Oh, I'm a fan. That surprises me. I'm thrilled to hear that. I'll tell you a quick Otto story. As soon as you brought Otto's name up, the very first thing I thought of was his crazy old man. But I never would have said it except you said that he said it. So when we were kids, I mean, Otto, you want to talk about a guy that had the whip cracked on him. His dad was insane at wrestling tournaments. I mean, he stood out. Now, he's got Otto. He's got a gold medalist with him every event he goes to. But, I mean, his dad was coming for blood, and we were 10 and 11 years old. And, I mean, his dad would make such scenes. We were at a tournament up in Washington, And, I mean, everybody knew about Otto's dad. He was like old man Zadok. Everybody there, or old man Gutchess for that matter, you're going to know he's there. He's just, it's just one of those things, man. He's gonna do something. And his dad, so we saw him the whole day, and his dad went in some back room and then came back into the auditorium, and now he's got a black eye. I don't know what happened, but somebody had enough of whatever it was. And I still don't have the story. And his dad was pretty nice the rest of the day. I did notice he was pretty nice. Otto, in college, I asked him about his dad, and I never said, hey, by the way, I think your dad's crazy. Never. I acted like his dad wasn't crazy, but I just thought it. And Otto said, you know, he's doing really well. He's calmed down a lot. He referenced everything I had ever thought about his crazy old man without saying that. But I guess his dad's doing great now. I think his dad used to drink. I think Otto said something about it. He'd come to the tournaments and, you know, he'd tailgate a little bit, which at wrestling, people don't. At football, go ahead. But at wrestling, it might make you behave a little different than the rest of the crowd.
What I loved about it is, you know how sometimes a text or an email is alive? When he said, I can't count how many tournaments my dad got kicked out of, I know he's right.
I can't count them.
I know he would have to. He'd forget, oh, no, he got kicked out of that one, then he came back in, or he came for the finals, or he dressed a different way.
Well, that was the thing. Old man Olsen would come to a tournament at 9 a.m. wearing a red shirt, and by the end of the day, he'd be in a blue shirt. And we never knew why he had to change. Well, what was happening is he was getting his ass thrown out. And so he'd go out to the camper or the car or whatever, and he had a new set of clothes, and he'd come back in. Old man Zadok used to do that too, try to throw on a hat. You know what old man Zadok looks like? Okay, he's going to stand out in absolutely any crowd. He'd think he could go put a hat on and roll back in and then behave the exact same. Not come back in with the hat on and then blend into the crowd. Do the exact same stuff, but now just with a hat on.
Well, and here's the thing. The fan base that doesn't know anything about wrestling, I have to tell you this. You have to be absolutely out of your mind to get kicked out of a wrestling tournament because half of the parents are crazy. Half of the parents in any other sport in the world would get broomed. You got to go. So to actually get kicked out of a wrestling tournament, man, you've really got to scale Mount Everest. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I fully agree with that. You know Jeff Marshall. You know Jeff and Jason Marshall. Jeff Marshall got bounced from a tournament by Carson Boone. Now Carson Boone was the head ref. Jeff and Carson Boone in real life probably just weren't going to get along great. These probably aren't two guys that are going to go out to a bar together. But if something went down, bet your ass it's going to be Jeff Marshall, right? Carson Boone kicks Jeff Marshall out of the All-Face from our tournament. Jeff Marshall was there and rolled the mats out. It's our tournament. He got kicked out, but Jeff Marshall respects the sport enough, he turned and left. He left the tournament. I've always respected Jeff because of his respect. Nobody could make Jeff Marshall leave a tournament if Jeff didn't want to leave. Had referee kicked him out, he turned and went to the car.
Yeah, I mean, you punching another dad doesn't automatically get you kicked out of
no,
a tournament.
That one always.
I
do
mean
it.
That one. You've got to do something else. Just punching somebody else's dad when your kids are wrestling, that will not get you kicked out of a wrestling tournament.
Hey, I can trump my own Jeff Marshall story. So it was Jeff Marshall's tournament. Okay, it was the All Phase tournament. Jeff literally helped roll the mats out and tape them up, and then got booted out of his own tournament. Joel, Matt Lindland. I was there for this. Matt Lindland got kicked out of the Clackamas Takedown Tournament. Now, Matt Lindland is not only an Olympic silver medalist from Oregon, and this tournament's in Oregon. This is his college.
National champ from Clackamas.
That he won a national title at. This is his own college. He got booted out during one of James' matches and refused.
Oh, he wouldn't leave. There's no way.
He did not leave.
Yeah, he wouldn't have left.
He did not leave because he argued, and I guess successfully because the tournament went on and he did not leave. He argued that procedure wasn't followed, that he had to be given a warning first. And he was serious. And I don't know if he's right or wrong, but I trust that he's right. He argued to the referee, you cannot kick me out on my first offense. Procedure says you must give me a warning. And they went back and forth and back and forth, and he stayed. So he must be right.
But no, he wasn't right. It was they knew after 15 minutes to try and kick him out, he was never going to leave. And it would be easier to just let him stay there. Now, everybody loves stories. The greatest wrestling, and you've got a million of them. The greatest wrestling story, one of them, is when the coach wrestled, the coaches wrestled for the championship. Would you tell that story?
Yeah, man, I've already told this story. I love telling this story. You're talking about Jamie Dixon, okay? Jamie Dixon, when you talk about, oh, he's a good old boy, you know that expression? You're talking about Jamie Dixon. He's as good old boy as they get. I mean, he's out hunting and fishing before school every day. So not only is he now the head coach of Tillamook, he's the athletic director. The athletic director in a school atmosphere sits right underneath the principal. The athletic director is more coveted than the vice principal. It goes principal, athletic director, vice principal. He is the athletic director and the head coach and an alumni of Tillamook and a good old boy, which is relevant to the story, goes out to Cascade where Jason Lovell is still the head coach. Jason Lovell is an alumni of Cascade, but Jason Lovell, who also would qualify as a good old boy, but it's Lovell's first year on the job. So everything's different. He doesn't have tenure. He doesn't have any, right? You can say he's an alumni and everybody loves Lovell all you want now. At this point of this story, he's 24 years old and just trying to break in. So they go and have a tournament at Cascade. And when the end of the tournament came, they crowned Cascade tournament champions and gave them the trophy. Now, no one's at this tournament, but Dixon's at the tournament, and he thought he should have had the trophy. It's as simple as that. And he's going, hey, I don't have a calculator here, but I watched the tournament. I got X number of champions. You don't. I got X number of finalists. You don't. I got X number of third places. You don't. I win the tournament. So Lovell's kind of looking around going, the same as you or I or anybody else would, hey, whoever they announce won the tournament, that's who won. There is no other procedure at this level. It's just whoever's name comes out of that guy's mouth. I do trust that it was the right name and the bracketing room had it right, but the bottom line is, what do you want me to do? What do you want to go sit down and tally this thing up? I've been wrestling my whole life. I don't even know how they keep score of a wrestling match. Somebody announces somebody's name at the end and that guy wins. So Lovell kind of tells him that, like, Dixon, what do you want me to do? They just took the picture and handed us the thing. And Dixon says, well, why don't you and I just wrestle for it? And Lovell says, and this was Lovell's mistake, he should know Dixon well enough, he should not have said this. He says, yeah, we should just wrestle for it. He's kidding. Dixon thinks that Lovell just accepted the challenge, and Dixon attacks him. Now, they're both in appropriate coaching attire, which is like, you know, a suit minus the tie, you know, wrestling coach's dress. So whatever Dixon does, and he's a rough guy, you know, Lovell is now bleeding, and Dixon does this on the hardwoods. So he takes Lovell down, but it's more like he drops him on the hardwood. So it wasn't exactly a soft landing. The very first thing Lovell sees is his principal, and his principal doesn't move. So Lovell says, 2 out of 3, and they walk onto the mat. Now, everybody's watching this, and by everybody, both teams and a couple of parents, no one's there, okay? But that's not how it works in these maniacs' mind. So they go on the mat, and they start going, and Dixon's doing Dixon, which, you know, he wrestles like Shellstad. He's going to headbutt you a bunch of times and whatever, and Lovell gets a takedown. So they get back up. Now it's one apiece, and they go again, and again, Lovell's shirt's ripped, and buttons are flying off, and, I mean, the whole thing's a mess, and Dixon's doing anything he can, and so's Lovell. And Lovell gets the takedown, and Dixon, like the sport he is, stands up and says, Cascade wins, and walks out the door, and his whole team follows him to the bus. They never spoke of it again. It's one of the greatest stories in wrestling. And Lovell, I heard this story first from Lovell, and then I had to call Dixon to make sure I had this right, because the story's insane. And Lovell said that all he could do, so after he gets 2 out of 3, he again turns his head to his principal to see. He thought this was his last day on the job. His principal never moved. His principal sat there, watched the whole thing, and officially in the record books right now, if you want to go check it, Cascade wins a tournament.
Now, that story, those are the coaches. So just imagine how...
One's the AD!
Just imagine how crazy you have to be to get kicked out of a tournament when those are your coaches.
Sure. I mean, when that kind of stuff can go at a wrestling tournament... imagine what can't. I told you about the time Kent got kicked out, didn't I, Kent Gutchess? Kent Gutchess got kicked out of a tournament in Medford and refused to leave. So, you know, something's got to give when that happens. If you kick a guy out of a tournament, that guy has to go. You can't back down on that, or now you just lost control of the whole tournament. So they kick him out. Kent refuses to leave. He crosses his arms, and he just shakes his head no, and Kent's not that big of a guy. So the guy who's announcing the tournament comes over and stands next to Kent. Now, you're talking about all these crazy parents. He comes over, and everybody, whether you're a wrestling fan or not, you can relate to this. The stuff you see in Little League, the stuff you see in basketball and baseball and cheerleading, it's just as crazy as the wrestling. The guy announcing the tournament goes and stands right next to Kent and says, "This tournament will not continue until he leaves," and points at him. Now you've got every crazy dad in the gym that would like to get home at some point coming over. Kent headed for the door.
Yeah.
But that's how that got handled. You want to know what Miss B got me for my birthday?
I do.
She got me Tommy John underwear. Now, I only wear Tommy John. She got me Tommy John, which is an incredible gift. I think B went and got a free present. But I want to tell you guys really fast, okay? Springtime is here. And that means ball games, barbecues, and of course, spring cleaning. But this year, start by cleaning out your underwear drawer. Yes, guys, your underwear drawer. Just open it up, and any of the underwear that isn't Tommy John, put them where it belongs, and that's in the trash. Tommy John is 21st century underwear. It's a brand for the modern man, and I want to tell you from my own experience, they are unbelievable. Tommy John's have a state-of-the-art design and a patented fabric-eliminating bunching, squishing, and riding up system. It's good for you. You cannot get a wedgie in these underwear if you want. Joel, they have undershirts. Undershirts that cannot come untucked. I don't tell you that as a selling point, Joel. I tell you that as a challenge.
I know that because I have two of them, and they keep the gut tucked.
But you have them because I gave them to you, but I issued that to you as a challenge. I told you these guys are claiming that their shirt cannot come untucked, and I want you to prove them wrong. I saw you doing jumping jacks in the shirt. The shirt doesn't come untucked. I don't know what else to say. I don't know how else to tell a listener, this shirt doesn't come untucked. And if it does, if there's anything you don't like, I don't care if it's the underwear that can't give you a wedgie, if it's the undershirt that can't come untucked, or if it's their incredible socks. If you don't like any of them for any reason, send them back. They'll give you your money back. How in the hell do you beat that deal? Literally, how do you beat that deal? Tommy John will just give you your money back. If any of his claims aren't true, or you're not happy for any reason. So do what Brittany did. If you got somebody's birthday coming up, if you want to get ahead on any kind of an anniversary present, or you just want to be nice, or you want to do a gift for yourself, get some Tommy John's underwear. No adjustment needed with Tommy John. Go over to TommyJohn.com/welcome to experience a life-changing comfort and get 20% off of your first order. Go to TommyJohn.com/welcome. And they will give you 20% off. TommyJohn.com/welcome. Final thought, Joel?
No.
Are you ready to admit Connor can beat him because Connor's bigger? Are you there yet?
No, not yet, but I do believe... I do believe less than a month before the fight, I'll change my tune. And I don't know how I'm going to get there. Because I'm 100% sure right now Connor loses that fight. 100%. So they're going to talk me all the way out of 100%.
Sure. Which somehow is fun. Hey, you see it all the time. It's not just in fighting. You will see it all the time in sport. It doesn't matter what it is. NFC versus AFC. You have these battles going on. You will see it in politics. You will see the world's most hated politician. Give him 2 months on the campaign trail and watch him get reelected. People have incredibly short-term memories. And you know what? It's what makes being a fan fun. Because sometimes you do need to know, hey, this could go either way. If you're trying to make a case for Connor, you can always turn to the size and you can turn to the youth. I will argue a bigger point of our entire premise of that today was Skip Bayless, a reputable guy, going on TV in a reputable format and making a claim without supporting it with any kind of historical evidence. Not a shot at Skip. I would just argue that if you're in that spot of influence, even on something as meaningless as sport, if you're in a spot of influence, you do owe it to the listener. And the listener should demand it of you, that you can turn to some kind of historical reference. If this was a bake-off and you had no idea and you've never seen either one of them make a cake and you had to go out and create content, that's one thing. When you have the oldest sport in the world, and it was either boxing or wrestling, one of them literally is the oldest sport in the world. If people grabbed each other first in play or in conflict, then wrestling is the oldest sport. If they punched one another first, then boxing is the world's oldest sport. When you literally have the oldest sport in the world, you have a historical reference and you owe it to your audience to offer that to support whatever claim it is you want to make. And you and I know, as sports guys, as personalities in this space, we get it wrong a lot, don't we? We share our opinion, we still get it wrong a lot. We are not fortune tellers. But we do base on our opinions based on some kind of evidence. Of which I would challenge Skip and just say, what did you base the bigger guy having the advantage on, aside from you backing down from every conflict you personally had in life where the guy was bigger? What matchup have you ever seen? Turn to any sport you want. Tell me a baseball player that ran out against the mound and got over on a pitcher because he was bigger. Tell me any fight you've ever seen where two guys agreed to conflict where the bigger guy got over purely because he was bigger. That's all I want, and I shut up on this topic. Until next time, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hey, this is Richard Marks, the host of Song Talks right here on Podcast One. Listen right now to my interview with Jane Lynch.
A cappella?
In this most beautiful arrangement. It was just... By the way, thank you for saying a cappella and not a cappello.
Or avocado, someone asked me once. Can you do that avocado?
Check out Song Talks every Wednesday at podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe at iTunes.